Hey, if you have your Bibles, well, it's almost time to end, but let's just finish up with the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and you guys know this passage, but I thought it would be appropriate. I can summarize. It just kind of goes along with what I've been talking about, but I want to talk to you all about your importance to things like this and how exciting it is to see God work. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18. 1 Samuel 30, verse 18. Passage here says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. I love this passage. Verse 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. And, of course, this is interesting because David is coming off of a season where he was going to go fight with the Philistines, and God, in his providence, says, no, you're not, David. And while he's off, you know, trying to, you know, do that, the Amalekites come and take his village, his town, and Ziklag, and burned it and took his people. And so he and all of his men were beside themselves. David goes and recovers all, as we see in verses 19 and 20. And then in verse 21 it says, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, because there were 200 men that couldn't make the trip. They were just too tired, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. Notice he has wicked men of Belial traveling with him, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And so they don't want to share the wealth. Verse 23, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For, and he says this in verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And so David says, we're going to make sure we're going to take care of everybody, even the people who couldn't go down and recover our stuff. Verse 25, and it was so that so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even his friends, saying, behold, a present for you, the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in the south Ramoth, and unto them that were in Jatter, and to them which were in Aror, and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them that were in the cities of Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and that's where Joshua is from, Caleb, I should say, and to them that were in Hormah, and to them which are in Koreshan, and to them that were in Atka, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. So he went around to everybody in Judah, and he distributed the goods that he restored in Ziklag. And so I just want you guys to know that when any of us go out, we're getting ready to send a team to Boston here in a few weeks in September. We need to be praying for Jordan Fox. She's going to be heading to Africa. Thank you for if you've helped with a bake sale or what have you, or helped her out along the way. I think she's raised her support. Randy, is that right? That she needs for Africa?
I understand that she's got everything she needed financially.
All right. Yeah, that's what I think.
I haven't been told that directly, but I saw some notes someplace.
Yeah, I think this is what she told me. So, so she's good to go, and then. Oh, good. And then we have Pat and Brady and a couple others are heading up to Boston to help them with an outreach. And so we're sending folks out. And then behind that will be a trip to Monmouth and to help with that, their vision conference and coming off. So we're always sending teams out. And next year I pray that we'll be going to Romania and other locations in Europe. And so so we're always sending folks out. And sometimes you can be sitting here like it's those guys going, but it's not those guys. It's us. Heartland is like a missionary. And we, when you go overseas like I do, and you see the impact of Heartland, it's not just like me. It's like when I go there, I'm just an ambassador of HBF. And they talk like that too. Thank Heartland, because they know Brian's not able to do this stuff. So it's really, it's this church is like a missionary. So just be encouraged in that. I don't want to take too much time on this for time's sake, but I'll just point this out from verse 19. David recovered all, and let's just say this: without David, there'd be no victory, right? Without Jesus Christ, there's no victory, right? And so David's in this case a key leader, though. In verse 6, if you go back to verse 6 and look at that text there, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord God." It also takes practical leadership to accomplish God's mission, you know. I'll conclude in the main service this morning talking about the need to, you know grow, and go. But at the end of the day, we got to go. And it's not always easy to go. It can be hard and distressful and difficult. But David encouraged himself in the Lord so he could accomplish the mission. And, of course, him doing that ended up encouraging so many others. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, 1 and 2, these same people met David at the cave of Adullam, and where he was hiding for his life from Saul. And David was, he was a recruiter of those that were distressed and those that were in debt and those that were discontented. His army was people that were distressed, in debt, and discontented. And so now the men had been saved from those circumstances, and they joined the winning team. And under Captain David, they were undefeated. And he became the savior of Israel from a human's perspective, because God's good hand was on him. But it's also very clear that really what he's a shadow of is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has suffered in our stead. He's all human. He's all God. And he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he has delivered us to victory. And so be encouraged in that. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and Jesus Christ, of course, in the garden, prayed through the garden when nobody else would and could. And, of course, he has a victory over the grave. The other thing I would leave us with is knowing that David possessed all in verses 20 through 22. So dealing with David's spoil there, it's not his. He realizes that. In verse 21, notice he says, "David came to the 200 men, which were so faint they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And when they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him, when David came near the people, he saluted them." I'm sorry, verse 22. Yeah, "and then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, and those that were with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." This wasn't David's spoil. It was the Lord's. It was God. I mean, he was in charge of it, but it was really God's property. And so from the day when I'm not going to get into that. So David's compassion, humility, and his gracious nature was on display here. And he didn't leave his mighty men to die in the wilderness, and he also didn't leave people in a situation where they were destitute, right? So he's like, "Hey, stay by the brook and refresh yourself while we continue the mission." But he wasn't going to stop the mission. He went forward with the mission, allowing them to get refreshed, and then still brought back more provision to take care of people. He had a heart for people just like God does. God is so gracious. You know, we have to be full of love for God and people. And Jesus Christ, of course, is our example. And David's desire, the devil's desire is to steal the spoil. You know, if we allow it, the devil will steal what God has provided, and we don't want to see that happen. When you think about places like Orissa, and where God is working so strategically right now at such a key time, in the midst of persecution, which is very real there, I did get to meet some, I forgot to tell you guys, that was probably the most important thing, some persecuted pastors that we helped. I'm not pastors, they're just people, they aren't pastors. A persecuted village that had no Western help, no Indian help, Pradeep help. And they came to the meeting on Sunday, They came in Saturday night, and I was able to be with probably 10 or 11 of them on Sunday, just to thank us, meaning Heartland, because the financial support they received from Pradeep was from Heartland. So I put it out there, hey, the persecuted folks, you can help them. And we raised, I don't know, $1,200 or whatever we gave it over and above, and sent it to them. And they came just to say thank you. So FYI. So that was pretty cool. And really, really tough situations. Their kids are actually in the orphanage, so they... Pradeep made room for their kids because they can't take care of their kids, so the kids are in the orphanage until their parents can get things together in a way where they can take their kids back. So that's hard, and that's hard living. That's what's going on. So David recovered all. David possessed all, and he distributed all. That's the end of the story, isn't it? He distributed everything, and because he understood who gave him the victory was God. So it's awesome. So Jesus blesses those who stay by the stuff as much as those that go into the battle. And that's my point for bringing up that passage this morning, is just encourage you all in staying by the stuff, because God, that's how it gets done. It's the people that are praying. I know, Ray, you were praying for me, and I was getting messages as I was out, people praying for me, and I appreciate that. But man, pray for them as well, as we go forward. And all these missionaries that we have, these prayer teams that we have, are really important. And so don't underestimate the power of your prayer, the power of a short-term missions trip, the power of short cycle projects like we had for 5 years investing in Bible colleges. The fruit is tremendous, and it's amazing to see what God is doing. And just the monthly support we offer to the orphanages and the ministries and things like that. It's outstanding. So I can't say enough about how good God is and how it takes all of us, to get it done. So you're a missionary. All right, before we conclude, I just want to give you a couple of updates and we'll pray. Of course, Wednesday night Bible study. It says that Jeff's speaking. He's not. I am. I'm going to do an update. HBI, if you're going into HBI, orientation is today. I think, Carol, you're invited to that. Endurance Ministry, that's going to be kicking off. So it's 6 to 8 o'clock here at HBF. Is that all? There's more information in the bulletin, so look at that. This week is Keeping Them in Stitches, going on Thursday night. If you're looking to crochet, I know Bud was looking to get into some knitting. And so... I'm just kidding, Bud. Don't take it personal. All right. How to disciple. If you've been through D1 and wanting to disciple others, want to learn about that, it's starting September 3rd. Go to the website or go to the bulletin. You can send information and get registered for that. And then we got a guest speaker information about the fifth Sunday coming up. So we will have a fifth Sunday this month, and in that day we won't have our ABF. There's a lot of other things you can see in there as well in the bulletin, but that's all I'm going to say tonight, so or today. I got all that. I wanted to share that at the beginning, but I forgot. So there it is at the end. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to get together. Thank you for the Real Life class. Pray for, again, David and Anita as they're preaching down in Passaic. Pray that the word would settle down there. Thank you for the baptism we're about to see. Thank you for seeing our brother Alvin Griffith come to Christ, a leader of a church that wasn't saved and needs to get saved, and now he's getting baptized. So we praise God for that, and we pray, God, that you just bless him. Pray, Lord, for the services coming up. Thank you for all these ABFs today. Thank you for all the work of ministry. Thank you for the fruit from the camp this last week. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Lord, I pray, God, that we, as we go into the next service and lift up our voices in thanksgiving and praise, Lord, that we just know that you inhabit those praises, and we pray, God, we just join into the choir that's singing in the third heaven today. And thank you for the rain, Lord. Just pray, God, that it's keep it from flooding, but we are thankful for it. Pray, God, that you bless the farming and our communities here in the Midwest especially. We praise you for these in the room today. Ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here today.
Glad to see you.
Hey, man. It's good to be back.
Hey, you know, something I was studying last night was Zadok.